Let's see here. Let's go ahead. Studying the people of the Bible. Now, there are a lot of people in the Bible, obviously. There's people that are mentioned many, many times. There are people mentioned very few times. And all of them are helpful to learn something. And so we're going to look at one today. And again, we're going through Brother Cloud's information. God has recorded the lives of hundreds of people in Scripture, and these are given for our instruction. Someone turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and read verse 11. Would somebody do that for me? See a hand? Henry, go ahead and do it. Now, I'll give you a preference. He's talking here, Paul, to the church there, and he's bringing them through a remembrance of different things that happened to the children of Israel. And in verse 11, he tells us, or kind of sums it up, why he does this. Did you find it? 1 Corinthians 10, 11. All right. Okay. No. Yeah, that big word is admonition. Okay. So they're written for our admonition. These are examples. I like the way he says ensamples, but examples. I like to put an X there, but anyway, they're written for us to understand who God is, what He thinks about things, and how He works in people's lives. And so it's important for us, if we're going to learn about these things, is that we too go back, not just to the New Testament, but the Old Testament as well, and learn about these different topics, these different folks, and find out what God and how God dealt with them, because it's good for us. It's going to help us. It's written for our admonition, or gives us ideas of what God thinks about things. God doesn't change. Amen? So what He thought in the Old Testament, He thinks in the New Testament. It's the same. There are different rules or different dispensations. We've studied that. God deals with people differently than He did back then. The Jews are a different people than Christians are different. They're two different groups, right? Everybody understands that. Church is not Israel, and Israel is not the church. And God deals differently with those two groups. And so all of that is part of the study that we try to learn and understand what God's doing. So character studies are very challenging, convicting, and enlightening. The Bible student will be amazed at how much he can learn from the lives of Bible characters, even when they are mentioned only briefly in the pages of Scripture. And the following is the method for studying the people of the Bible. So he's going to list down a lot of things. This is in your book. But when you go and you start studying somebody, maybe you pick a name out and you say, I want to learn more about this person. Or during your daily reading or whatever, you come across somebody and say, I'm going to go find out more about this person. Who is he? A lot of times we're reading and you'll see something. I got my computer handy, so if I'm reading my Bible, like when our devotions, me and Janie are reading through Psalms or whatever, I'll stop if I see something and I'll go back and I'll try to study a word or something in that passage because I don't know and I don't want to just leave it thinking, well, you know, it's there, it's okay, but I really want to know what it means. And so that's why we want to study and look at these things. They're there for our admonition. So we want to use a concordance or a topical study book or a Bible dictionary and find all the passages dealing with a person. That's what I like about Sword Searcher, again, and these other tools are very handy if you don't have Sword Searcher or a good Bible program. And there are others than Sword Searcher. That's the one I endorse because that's the one I've used for the last 14 years, I guess. But anyway, it's good. You can go in there and you can look up a name and you can find out what that name is means in the Greek or Hebrew. And you can take and click on that and find maybe there's other names for that same Hebrew or Greek word, okay? And so that helps you get some insight sometimes to those people as well. Okay, so be careful to distinguish between various people with the same name. Can anybody think of somebody's name that's used a lot in the Bible? Yes, Jesus, but it's generally talking about the same person, right? Generally, Jesus. Now, that name also, Joshua, that's a similar name. In fact, Joshua's name means Savior as well. But what about someone, a common name that's used in the Bible a lot for different people? Harry, that's a good example. Because there's, I think, seven or more. I'm just guessing. I mean, there's Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary of mother of Joseph and James. There's the Mary, the other Mary. And of course, some of these are the same Mary, but they're used in different ways in the Bible. And so you have to go through and distinguish who it's talking about. There's Mary Magdalena. There's Mary of Bethany. There's lots of Marys, okay? So to go find out who it's talking about, you have to do a study and try to kind of go through those things. And I think that's actually the one you might list here. For example, okay, there are many people named Simon, Mary, and James. And so there are different ones. So every time you see James, that's not necessarily the Apostle James. It could be somebody else. James is the brother of who? The Apostle James. I'm sorry? Nope. Huh? No. The apostle. John, yeah. Zebedee's children. See, that's where you go and study, but you're right. Jude is, and there is a James that is the brother of Jesus. True. But he wasn't an apostle. Okay? So that's how you kind of, when you start doing these studies, you have to dig those things out. So, there are at least two men named Goliath. I didn't even know this, to be honest with you, until I read his book, because I never studied Goliath. I thought there's one, and he got killed a long time ago. But one was killed by David in 1 Samuel, and the other is killed by Elhanan in 2 Samuel 21 through 19. So, again, it's good to study because you can find things in the Bible, a lot of things that we don't understand. Maybe just on the surface, because I've never preached about this other Goliath, never thought about the other Goliath, never mentioned the other Goliath, had no idea. And if someone had come up to me and says, yeah, what about Goliath in the Bible? And he said 2 Samuel, I'm going, what about him? David killed him a long time ago. Hold it. You need to go back. And so that's, again, that's why we study to show ourselves approved. People will sometimes ask you those things, and it's good to know them. When you study, you find those things out. Many people in the Bible are called by different names as well. And he gives us, list somebody that's called, somebody real obvious. Well, yeah, but that's New Testament and Old Testament. Is that what you're thinking? Okay, well, that's just a translation. Because it went from the Hebrew to the Greek and to the English. So it's, but I know what you're saying is true. If you're studying the Bible, you need to know that, because when you're looking in the New Testament, who's this talking about? Elias. Who's Elias in the New Testament? Who? Elijah. Why? I would have thought maybe that's Elisha, but it's really Elijah. So again, the study is how you do that. Yes. Not so much Jesus, but can you think of anybody else? Mark. He's mentioned what? Can you give me another name for him? John Mark. Right. Marcus. It's also the same character. Who? Peter, absolutely. What are some names Peter goes by? Simon, anything else? Cephas, that's right. So when you study the Bible, it's good to know these different names so you know who it's talking about, and it gives you some understanding of this person in the Bible. Peter is also called Simon, Cephas, and Simeon, okay? And then you can find different names by consulting the parallel reference in the Treasury Scripture of Knowledge and by using a Bible dictionary. Both of those are very helpful. Brother Cloud's Way of Life, like I say, I have not used that much until I got it on my computer recently, but it is a very invaluable tool, I'm finding. A lot of the studies that I would do, he's already done them, and the information's there. Not that I want to quit studying, but I'm just saying you can go confirm some of your studies with some of the things he's done. It's really encouraging to see that, and it helps you as well. And if you don't have a lot of time and you can trust a source, that makes your Bible study a lot quicker as well and helps you benefit in some of those things. So anyway, just something to note. Read these passages repeatedly. Anytime you're doing a Bible study, you want to keep reading them over and over. Brother Filler, I can't remember, I think he said before he ever preaches, and I don't know the context of this, and I'll explain that, he reads the book 6 times. Okay? Now, I don't know if that means he's read 6 times his whole life, or he just read it 6 times before he preached that particular message. I kind of tend to think he read it probably before he preached the message, okay? Don't know that. Some books are a lot bigger than others. We're going through Matthew as part of our Psalms, and it's like I told Jane, says, let's try to finish this in 4 days. We're going to read 7 chapters a day. So that's what we're kind of doing, is trying to expedite and get through the book of Matthew in 4 days. So we're reading 7 chapters a day, alternating, reading with each other. But so the point is that you want to read it repeatedly, over and over and over again. I can't tell you how many things that I've forgotten about what the Bible has said or taught in different books or passages or characters, because I forget. And so it's good to go back and read it again. That's why we try to read through the Bible every year, is to keep refreshing our memory of those things that have taken place, so they're fresh on our mind and we have the opportunity to use that as well. And that's not really studying, that's just reading through. Okay, analyze a person's life by asking the following questions. So he's got a list of questions here that you might ask about this person. So you're attacking this subject or this person with a goal in mind. And that's what we do when we study. We got a goal in mind. We want to learn about this person. Who, what, when, where, why, how. All those six helping friends and some other questions as well. So let's just look at some of those. What are other names for the person? We kind of saw that in Paul and some of the others. So you want, and the importance of that is that you can go different passages and study that person's life. And you can find out, you know, what he's done and who he really is. What are the meanings of his or her names? So you want to look up and find out what the name means, either in the Hebrew or the Greek or Aramaic, if it's an Aramaic name. What do I know about the background of his or her life and times? Who's somebody that has a lot of background? There's several people that do. Jesus has a lot of background. We don't know much about his early life, but we know a whole lot about 3 years of his life, right? There's four books, plus really the Bible. But also Paul is somebody we know a lot about in his later life after salvation. We know a little bit about before, but not a lot. So there are a lot of things we can find out about these folks, their backgrounds and who they are. What do I know about the person's family? Gideon was not the oldest, remember? And they always look highly on the oldest son in a family in the Old Testament days. He was not the oldest, so he was surprised that the angel of the Lord was going to choose him to deliver Israel. You know, because he said, I'm not the oldest, and I'm just a farmer. I'm a nobody. So you get to know a little bit about the person's background. What details does the Bible give about his or her birth? And we know a lot about Jesus, we know about John the Baptist, his birth, and folks like that. And there are others as well. I had a thought about the person's family, and it just flew away. Anyway, we might come back. What do I know about the person's youth? David is somebody that we know somewhat a little bit about his youth. Not a lot, but we know that he stood against what? Some animals. A lion and a bear. That's right. We know that he was also what did he do as a young boy? He was a shepherd. That's right. He took care of his father's sheep. And in doing so, we see and we learn real quick that he trusted the Lord. He walked with God. And you can see that through a lot of the Psalms and different things. But who enabled him to kill that bear and to take care of that lion? It was God. He trusted God. That's why he was able to do what? What would you raise your hand for? That's right. So who else did God, through proving him in that Goliath? That's right. And so David could trust God because he knew God could take care of him. So you want to learn about the person's youth and where he came from and how he grew up and that type of thing. If there is something. What do I know about the person's salvation? Did he put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Did he believe in God? How did that happen? And that's important because we know Abraham didn't see Jesus like we see Jesus. He was looking toward the cross. We're looking back at the cross. But the Bible says, how did he get saved? Is he saved? Yes, he is saved. So how did he get saved? He got saved the same way everybody else does, but with the knowledge he knew. What was the knowledge he knew? Remember the passage or the words? Genesis chapter 15, I think it's verse 6. Abraham, okay, I'll use that word, that's fine. Trusted, no, believed God, and it was There you go. Don't forget that. That's important because it's the same for everybody with the knowledge that we have. Today, God's plan is you have to put your faith and trust in Jesus. That is pretty specific. In Abraham's day, he believed God. That was counted him righteous. Today, we believe God. How do we do that? By putting our faith and trust in Jesus. And so it's salvation is the same way. It's just based on the knowledge we have today. Who do I know, or excuse me, what do I know about the person's call of God? Moses is a good example. Remember Moses when he was called? Well, I think he came up with, I can't remember, five excuses? Oh, I can't remember. But one of them was, well, first off, they're not, who can I say sent me? I am that I am, right? What did he say? He said, I'm not eloquent in speech. You know, I can't do this. Who made your mouth anyway? And I'll give you your brother to help you. He just had several excuses why he didn't want or felt like he couldn't do it. And God, you know, just throwed it back at him and says, you can do this. I'll let you, I'll guide you through this. If I call you, I'll enable you. And so we can learn about a person's call. We know about Paul's call. Does that rhyme? Paul's call, sorry. Paul's call. Remember him? Road to Damascus? Okay. He saw Jesus. Now, it's different for us today. That's not the way God saves us today. Today, we have the Word of God. It's a completed canon. He speaks through the Word of God, and He reveals to us that we're lost, that Jesus died for us, and we can put our faith and trust in that. So, a person's call. What are the major events of a person's life? What did this person go through? How did he live? Again, we have a lot about Jesus. We have a lot about Paul. We have a lot about Moses. Moses, the first 40 years of his life, he lived in Pharaoh's court. He was a big wig back then. And then the next 40, where will we find him? Did you say? Yeah, backside of the desert. What was he doing? Getting some training, learning. And then the last 40 years of his life, what was he doing? That's right. He was leading or delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt and trying to get them to trust God. He was, they called him the deliverer or whatever. Of course, Christ is the deliverer or God is the deliverer, but God used Moses. So we see his life. The first 40 years, he was in the world and he followed the world. He did what the world had him to do. Then the next 40, he was in the backside of the wilderness learning about God. And then he led the children of Israel out of Egypt and he served God. What are the major character traits of this person, good and bad? So you get to look at that. David, we see a lot of good things in his life. But we also see some bad things. And that helps us to understand that we too are like David. And God forgives and God's mercy is there and His grace. But we also, we learn that we need to agree with God and turn back to Him. If you keep running from Him, we're going to always be running. But when we turn around, ask the forgiveness, He brings us back into His fold and He takes care of us. He watches over us. He provides. He meets the needs. And He'll continue to guide and direct. Let's see. What people most influence the person's life? When I think of Saul, can anybody think of obviously he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. But I think there was an influence on him that kind of made him think about things. Do you remember what that might be? Yeah. When Stephen was being stoned, he was there consenting unto his death. I believe that had an effect on him. That's something he's probably thinking about. And then, of course, when he met the Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He didn't argue with him. He said, okay, I'm here. I'm ready to go with you. But we saw it today in Jonah's life. There was influence in other people's lives because of Jonah's disobedience too. So people influence people. And so you got to go back and look at what influences these people to do what they did. Okay. What influence did the person have on those around him? And that goes more to what I was speaking of Jonah and others as well. Let's see. What's the next thing here? What is the one main thought that summarizes this person's life? Trying to think. Abraham, he believed God and counted him for righteousness. That's a big main thought in his life because you see in the New Testament that's mentioned many times that he believed God. It was by faith that Abraham was saved. And so that was a big one for him. All right. What are some of the lessons from this person's life? What can we learn? The good things, what bad things we see that we can help us to not maybe follow in that person's footsteps and do what that person did or lived as though he did. And all of this is for our what? What did it say in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11? For our admonition. Okay? To learn these things. So now we got the examples. Enoch. Well, you know, a lot of times we think, who is Enoch? Well, Enoch wasn't around very long, at least not according to the scripture. I mean, he was here long, but we don't know a lot about him. And the things that we do know, we find in the Old and New Testament. But how many Enochs were there? Is there 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? You know. And so there's a lot of questions that help us. Enoch is one that's not too hard to study because there's not that much information about him. But we do have some things. And so that makes this kind of an interesting study to look at. Let's see if I can do this. I don't know if I got a new PowerPoint, and so I don't know if it'll let me do this or not. Okay, let's see if it'll work. So if I go up in this box and I type in Enoch, okay, I want to see if I can drag this down a little bit. Okay, and I'm going to take it off the, just put it on King James. Down here it tells me somewhere, it says there's 12 matches in 11 verses. So the name Enoch in that form occurs 12 times in 11 verses. And if you look at the bar at the top, the majority of those is Genesis. There's 8 times. Okay. Then you go to the New Testament and you find Luke is a verse in Luke. There's a verse in Hebrews and there's a verse in Jude. Okay. So they're all the 12 times that it occurs in the King James Bible, the word Enoch, the way it's spelled there. Does everybody see that? Kind of? Or can you see it? See right down here where it says 12 matches in 11 verses? Right up here at the top, it gives you this graph. Just take your mark or your highlighter, put it over it. It says Genesis, 8 verses. It tells you here in this one, it'll go Luke, 1 verse. Drop it on this guy, Hebrews 1, and then Jude 1. Okay? So it's a quick, you can look and say, oh, where's this occur and all that. Okay, but now what we want to know then is who these people are and all that stuff. So before we go any farther, though, I do want to look up his name. So right here in Genesis 4:17, we see the word Enoch, but then I got under it, I highlighted the Hebrew. You see it right here? On the right box over here, I highlighted the word Enoch, and it tells us that that word is Kanok, kind of, okay, Kanoki. And it tells us what it means. It means initiated, okay? And it says it's a patriarch. Now, it doesn't give us all the different spellings of this name, which is interesting, in this particular form. But if I click on this, it drops it down here to this box here. Can everybody see that, or am I in your way? Right down here is a box. And this is the Strong's Hebrew Dictionary. There's the Hebrew word. There's what it means, initiated. And if I go and click right here, like I'm going to click on the Hebrew word, right here now it says we have 16 matches in 15 verses instead of 12. So that means that there are other spellings of Enoch. Is everybody following me? It's the same Hebrew word, but there are different spellings for it. Okay? In other words, probably different people, but not necessarily. So we know this is how many times it occurs. If I go back and throw this out there. So here in Genesis chapter 4, verse 17, we see the first mention of the name Enoch. And let me just highlight this so you can see it better. Click right here. what did I say? Verse 17? Okay. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, And he builded a city and called the name of that city after the name of his son Enoch. So Cain built a city, he called it Enoch, his son was named Enoch. Is this the Enoch that was translated? Kirk already told me the answer. Yeah, that's right. It's not, but it's a different Enoch. And if we didn't study the names of the Bible and know that, we might come to this point thinking, oh, Enoch is the son of Cain, right? But he's not. Enoch is actually related to the godly line of Seth, okay? And that's, again, that's important. That's the history. That's where you go back and you look, where did he come from, and what's his relationship to whoever? Because Seth, Cain is an ungodly line. He killed his brother, right? Abel. Seth is the godly line, and you'll see that throughout scriptures as you study that. So here we say Enoch, and it goes on and tells about his life and all this stuff. This particular Enoch. Well, let me go back out of this and go back to here for a second. So let's see here. Next place we want to go is, this is all still talking about the same Enoch. In chapter 5, okay, let me go there. I'm going to go ahead and click this big too so we can see it again. Okay. If you began reading here in chapter 5, verse 3, it says, "And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth." So chapter 5 begins the godly line of Seth. Verse 1, you could go back and it says, "All the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Adam lived were 930 years and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Cainan. And Enos lived after he begat Cainan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years and he died. And Cainan lived 70 years and begat Mahalaleli." That's a good name there. "And Cainan lived after he begat Mahalaleli 840 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Cainan, I guess is the way you should say it, were 910 years and he died. And Mahalaleel lived 65 years and begat Jared. And Mahalaleel lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalaleel were 895 years and he died. And Jared lived 162 years and he begat Enoch." Okay, so now in chapter 5 we're into Enoch. So this is the second Enoch we found in the Bible, okay, so far. And this is the Enoch that we all know and love. He's the one that was translated, and we'll see that as we go through this. Let's go ahead and read it. "And after Jared lived, he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and he begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him." So there's the passage of the Enoch we're looking for, the name Enoch. That's the one that Brother Cloud is focused on that we're studying. So he wanted to look and find out what other names are there. So if we go back to this right here, I'll probably, I'm not going to show you because, not that I don't want to show you, it's just going to take a long time to show. So we got the example Enoch, and so reference, these are references. So when I looked this up the first time, this is how many times I saw the reference of the word Enoch. That word Enoch, spelled E-N-O-C-H. And you will see that in the New Testament, it's in there three times. And then the Old Testament, it's six times in Genesis chapter 5 and one time in 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 3. And actually, I think that might be spelled differently. Let's go ahead and look. Okay, the meaning of his name means initiated. We saw that. Other names, what are other names for this person? The Hebrew name for Enoch is Chanoch, 16 times in 15 verses. We mentioned that. And Henoch is used for Enoch in Genesis one time in the Enoch of Genesis one time in 1 Chronicles 1, 3. Someone turn to 1 Chronicles 1, 3 for me. We'll let somebody else do it this time. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, I think so. Did I tell you wrong? Well, there's 33 too. It's 1 Chronicles 1, 3, and 1 Chronicles 133. Let's see here. Okay, yeah, you see right there. Oh, I see. How'd you read that? Go ahead and read it again. No, your computer ought to be right. You're doing Sword Searcher? Yeah, it should be right. Yeah, Lamech. Okay, so how's it spell that Enoch? Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at. That's the point I'm making. That here, it's the genealogy of Genesis, but they spell it in this particular case, H-E-N, like he, not instead of E, Enoch. Okay, so that was the point I was making. So when you're looking up the name, you go back to the Hebrew word. You want to find all those words so you can find out and discern what this is. So here we see a genealogy of the line of Seth in 1 Chronicles chapter 3, and they spelled Enoch, Henoch. So if you didn't know that, you might read through there and think, well, you might not even pick up on it is what I'm saying. Does that make sense? That's again, and someone else who studies their Bible, they may know that, and you know, something that you can learn and you want to learn. So, Henoch, okay? So let's go on. Enoch and Henoch are also the names of other men. So Enoch we already saw in Genesis chapter 4, which was of the line of Cain. Remember that? Okay. And here we just say Enoch, son of Cain. And it's used three times in Genesis 4, 17 through 18. Henoch, which is comes off that same Hebrew word, is the son of Reuben and grandson of Jacob. And you see the verses there that it shares that with us. Okay. Henoch, there's another one, a son of Midian, a grandson of Abraham by Ketra, Genesis 25, 4, 1 Chronicles 1:33 that you were talking about, Mike. Okay? So you can see, again, we're studying the word Enoch. We're finding out who he is, finding out there are other people that have the same Hebrew name. It's spelled differently, means the same, but it's not the same person. Okay? So what's the background? Well, Enoch lived only seven generations after Adam's fall. You could count them, but also in Jude, it tells us that. Someone turn to Jude and read verse 14. Do I have an adult that would do that? Okay, Tina. Jude 14. You pick the chapter. So we learned a little bit about Enoch here. He was of course, you could go look at the generations and count them yourself in Genesis chapter 5. But this, again, tells us, and it tells us a little bit more about him. He was a godly lineage of Seth. We found that in Genesis chapter 5, who was born in the place of the murdered Abel. Okay, that's true. Enoch lived not long before the flood, and the world was filled with wickedness at that time, we know. Enoch was a prophet of God according to Jude 14. That's what it just said here when she read that. Prophesied of these saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. family, Enoch's son, Methuselah. He was the oldest man in the Bible in Genesis chapter 5, verse 25 through 27. Anybody remember how old that guy was? How long? How old? Anybody else got a different age, maybe? I'm not 100% sure, but I think it. I don't think so. I don't think so. I might be wrong. No? Yeah, it's the best thing to do is look in the Bible. It'll probably tell you in there. I'm thinking, is it 960 something? Thank you. That's it. Correct. 969. Everybody got 900 something, so we're good. He lived around 900. Okay. But he was the oldest man that lived, and he lived right up to the flood. Okay. I don't know if he was taken right before it or right. We can say something? Okay. All right. The birth, there's nothing outstanding recorded about Enoch's birth. We don't know anything that was special about it. So we can't go and say anything that there was. We can speculate, but that's all it would be. It would be our speculation. His youth. We don't know anything about his youth, right? There's nothing there that tells us. He says, but Adam was still alive for the first 387 years of his Enoch's life. So that's interesting because he actually probably got to go talk to his grandpa, you know, and all the things that took place in the garden, he knew those firsthand from his grandpa. That's pretty neat when you think about it. So he has that history. And of course, I'm sure they passed those down generation to generation. So here he says, thus Enoch doubtless knew his famous or infamous great-grandparents, Adam and Eve, and could have heard from their own lips the story of fall and the problem. Okay, I must have read this. I'm sorry. Salvation. The Bible says Enoch walked with God. Again, that is telling us that he is somebody who knew God in a personal way, and he, just like Abraham, he believed God was counted to him for righteousness. He walked with God. This tells us that Enoch was saved. Tells us that Enoch was a saved man, but we are not told exactly how or when he was saved. We do know from Hebrews that he believed in God. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, in the faith chapter. And someone read verse 5 in chapter 11. Do I have an adult that would help me? Okay, great. Yes. And if we please God, we already know that that means that we have a relationship with Him. This is the only way you can please God. Because read the next verse, Greg. Absolutely. So there's our confirmation again. This was a man that walked with God and he pleased God. Call of God, we're not told about that. We don't know when he was called to be that prophet. Major events, and Enoch was translated to heaven without dying. That's the only thing we really know about that. Character traits, he walked with God. He pleased God. He preached the word of God as shared in Jude 14. And people by whom he was influenced. So look at his character traits. I think this is the character traits of Christians. First, to walk with God. Put your faith and trust in God. Second, please God. Continue to live for Him and follow Him. And third, tell others about God or Jesus Christ. That's a focus for us. That was the focus of Enoch. Those are three important points. Good. People by whom he's influenced, we're not told directly who might have influenced Enoch. It's possible, though, that he was influenced by Adam himself, who lived during the first 387 years of his life. People who are influenced by him, Enoch preached the word of God, and thus doubtless, he says, generations have been influenced by Enoch because it's passed down. It's the same with us. When we have the opportunity to preach or teach others about the word of God and they put their faith and trust in Christ, we don't know where that's going to lead, And who's going to be influenced by that? It could be a lot of people. Could be, couldn't it? His testimony and preaching probably influenced Noah. Enoch was taken to heaven only 69 years before Noah was born. So Noah, I'm sure, heard about that. Probably knew him. Since his translation, Enoch has influenced multitudes by his example of walking with God as recorded in the Bible. Main thought, Enoch was a man who walked with God in a wicked generation, and he did not have to die. What does that kind of give us a picture of? Thank you. Rapture. Jesus Christ would come back today, and we'd be in the same condition. We walk with God, and he took us out. So it's a picture of the rapture. Okay, major lessons from Enoch's life. Men can have faith in God in the midst of a wicked, or of the wickedest environment. In other words, we can trust God for everything, even though we're going to be different. We can believe him and walk with him closely and not have to do what the world suggests that we have to do. Or we don't have to follow the world's influence. There is a choice. And it's hard these days, and it's going to be harder for our kids and their kids, and on it goes, because of the focus the world has. The devil will take anything, any good thing, and he will try to use that to divert our attention on the mission that God has called us here for. I mean, there are a lot of things we can spend our time doing. And the devil knows those things. They're not bad things, but they're good things. And you know what? We only have so much time. And that's it. Bible says, redeem the time, for the days are evil. Yeah. Men in those days had great light. Today they have great light. We have the Word of God. We have Christians. And you hear the gospel being preached many times. Abel knew about God's sacrifice in Genesis 4. Enoch knew about the second coming of Christ in Jude 14. God's means of witnessing to men is through preaching. We see that in Jude 14. Enoch preached. Noah preached. Preaching has always been God's name. There have always been prophets of God in the world. Thus, men are without excuse for not believing in the true God. And the first and most important thing about pleasing God is simply walking with him. That's how we please him. Is we take him at his word and we trust it and we act upon it. And when we do that, we know we're going to please God. And that's it. Ta-da. Anybody have any thoughts about how to study an individual in the Bible? Anybody got a name pop in their head they want to go home right now and find out more about that person? Okay. Sleep on it. Selah. Okay. But I know it really, but it's overwhelming sometimes. I know it's when you got a full-time job, family, and all that, these things can become overwhelming. But if you don't take steps to do it, you never will take steps to do it. And that's why I want to encourage you to start doing something to learn more about God. We don't know how long we have, but whatever time we have, we want to know our Savior when we see him face to face. Because we have studied, we know, and we've learned about him. All right, let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for this time. We thank you for your love for us. I thank you for Brother Cloud, who spent many hours putting together this material to help us, each one, to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. And Father, I pray you continue to guide and direct our lives. Give us that desire and help us to do it. And we thank you for your love and thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to give you 3 minutes if you want. If you don't, we'll just have the quick business meeting right now. You tell me. Now. All those in favor? Okay, good. All right. Let me go get my paper real quick.